Online and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Coming up, it's been confirmed that pharmacy staff in Donegal will begin getting their COVID-19 vaccines from tomorrow. The European Commission has authorised the use of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine across the EU. Nursing home residents are calling on the government to allow indoor visiting once again. The Taoiseach believes people will be able to enjoy a holiday in Ireland this summer despite the COVID-19 pandemic. And Donegal Deputy Thomas Pringle has called on the Taoiseach to expand the remit of credit unions. Good afternoon. Oisin Kelly will be here too with all the latest in sport. First in news though, a man has died following a crash in South Donegal. Gardaí and Ballyshannon are continuing to appeal for witnesses to the fatal road collision that occurred at Ballymurgorty and Ballantra this morning at approximately 8 a.m. The male driver of the car, a man in his 30s, was removed to Sligo University Hospital with critical injuries and he has since passed away. Garda forensic collision investigators have conducted their examination of the scene and the road has now reopened. They continue to appeal for any witnesses to the collision to come forward. They're also appealing for any road users who may have camera footage, including dash cam, who were travelling in the area between 7.30 and 8.30am this morning to make this footage available to them. Anyone with information is being urged to contact Ballyshannon Garda Station. It's been confirmed that pharmacy staff in Donegal will begin getting their COVID-19 vaccines from tomorrow. The news from the HSE puts an end to big concern locally among pharmacists and their staff that while their counterparts in other counties got the jab in recent days, there was still no timeline for Donegal. Staff will be expected to be a big part of the vaccination programme in the months ahead and the rollout for them gets underway from tomorrow morning. Minister Charlie McConnellogue says it's positive news.
Yeah, they've received confirmation from HSE following representation that there will now scheduling will now start from tomorrow in terms of putting a programme in place to vaccinate pharmacy staff across Donegal. This is something that had been commenced in other parts of the country and a number of pharmacists and pharmacy staff were looking for clarification as to when it will commence in Donegal. So thankfully the HSE have now confirmed that is going to commence and scheduling will commence from tomorrow and pharmacists will start to hear in terms of where how it will roll out. So it's welcome and particularly so given the frontline nature of pharmacy staff, but also very importantly in relation to the fact that a pharmacist will be playing a role in relation to the vaccination rollout among the wider community. So it's really important that they're vaccinated in advance of that. So very much welcome this news.
And have we any clarity as it relates to why there was a delay in the vaccine rollout for them in the first instance? Like we do know that CHO1, that area does cover Donegal, but it also covers the likes of Cavan and Monaghan and they've already got the jab there, their counterparts in those counties.
Yeah, well, that was part of the issue, that really there was a discrepancy there between the commencement of the rollout in Donegal and other counties, and some other counties, not every county has had it yet, but some other counties certainly have. So it was important that there was clarity brought to this issue from a Donegal perspective, and particularly important that we receive this clarity now from the HSE, that the scheduling for pharmacy staff will start tomorrow and roll out from there. So I think it will be welcomed. Pharmacy staff have raised it in recent days, and it was unfortunate that there was confusion around when the commencement date would be. So it was really important that that was confirmed and that there is now some certainty as to the commencement of the process and the vaccination programme for pharmacy staff.
The European Commission has authorised the use of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine across the EU. It's after the European Medicines Agency approved its use for people from 18 years of age. The one-shot vaccine will become the fourth to be approved in Ireland and there is an advance purchase agreement for 2.2 million doses, 600,000 of those between April and June. Taoiseach Dáil Éo Bhradacar says it's excellent news and yet another weapon in the fight against COVID. Stornoughta Dr. Dennis McCauley from the Irish Medical Organisation is also welcoming today's news.
it is very positive. I think that it is an mRNA vaccine similar to the Pfizer vaccine and the Moderna vaccine, but it is a one-dose vaccine. This will help to speed up the rollout of the vaccine to get the target of 70% coverage much more quickly. We have been given various dates for when it's going to arrive, but we think it's better to just be happy that it is approved, and we will rejoice when it arrives.
Nursing home residents are calling on the government to allow indoor visiting once again. NPHET is considering easing the visiting ban, which is impacting more than 30,000 residents across the country. Sage Advocacy says many of them are desperately anxious to be safely reunited with their families. The group's executive director, Sarah Lennon, says the vaccine rollout should allow for indoor visits to resume.
Received information from the HSE around the positive impact that the COVID-19 vaccination has had on nursing homes. And this has really reassured and brought hope to nursing home residents who have for the last 12 months essentially been isolated and cut off. We know that a lot of nursing home residents have been very anxious and have been desperately sad and have been isolated. And really now what they want is to be safely reunited with their families.
The Taoiseach believes people will be able to enjoy a holiday in Ireland this summer despite the COVID-19 pandemic. Leo Varadkar has confirmed very few restrictions will be eased next month, like construction and some outdoor activities. He says it will be the end of April or early May before shops or hairdressers have any chance of reopening. But he feels holidaying at home will happen this summer.
Anything like international travel and so on, we'd have to see the data first and assure ourselves that's safe to do. And long before we're travelling overseas for non-essential reasons, we'll have mandatory quarantine up and running. So initially, the direction of travel is actually more restrictions, not less. On foreign travel anyway, I do think that there will be a domestic tourist season this summer like there was last summer.
The government has confirmed Justice Minister Helen McEntee will be able to take 6 months of maternity leave. A number of ministers will split up her responsibilities while she takes time to have her first child. Sean Defoe has more.
Helen McEntee is the first minister to become pregnant while in office, which means there was no precedent and a number of constitutional headaches that presented themselves to the government. The solution arrived at is that Minister McEntee will remain a member of the government without a portfolio for the 6 months that she takes off from April 30th. Social Protection Minister Heather Humphreys will take the title of Justice Minister during that time, taking over political responsibility for the department and issues relating to security and policing. Super Junior Minister Hildegard Nocton will also be assigned to the Department of Justice to look after the courts and criminal justice aspects of the brief, while existing Junior Minister in Justice James Brown will take over more responsibility relating to civil justice and immigration. It's hoped that spreading the workload won't overload Minister Humphreys, who will also be remaining Minister for Social Protection and Rural Affairs. Both Minister McEntee and the Taoiseach Micheál Martin noted today that this rigmarole shouldn't be necessary, saying the lack of maternity leave for politicians is a big barrier for women choosing it as a career path.
A Donegal deputy is calling on the Taoiseach to expand the remit of credit unions. It comes following the decision by Ulster Bank to close 5 of its branches in Donegal and Bank of Ireland withdrawing from 5 towns in the county. Deputy Thomas Pringle believes this is an opportunity for credit unions and post offices to pick up the pieces. Speaking in the Dáil, he told Micheál Martin the credit unions are the lifeline of many communities.
In Donegal, Ulster Bank are closing 5 branches and Bank of Ireland are pulling out of another 5 towns. Talking with a number of local credit unions across Donegal, they are seeing an increase in people moving their deposits to the credit union. But credit unions are hamstrung by regulations on deposits, which sees them limiting deposits as they are forced by government policy to make a loss on holding people's money. Credit unions need to be able to lend out to their communities the money that they take in. The feeling in some credit unions is that the central bank favours banks and that it is intent on building up the profits of the Irish banks while embedding regulatory costs which reduce the surplus of Irish credit unions. Apparently, the central bank has indicated that every credit union should expect that members would not be paid a dividend or interest rebate for the year 2020. There has been a reported exodus of experienced volunteers from credit union boards because of what is deemed to be relentless, restrictive and excessive governance regulation by the central bank. It is feared that if such micromanagement continues, that many small, medium-sized credit unions will be lost over the next few years. Taoiseach, I have recently been been highlighting the stark housing problems in Donegal as well. Credit unions have been offering a viable solution for investment in social housing for years now, but a decision is still outstanding from the department. It's not like there's any urgency in addressing the housing crisis, I suppose. Finally, Bank of Ireland has organised an exclusive contract with Unpost. However, credit unions are not allowed to explore these possibilities. Taoiseach, will you now expand the remit and autonomy of credit unions?
Credit unions
are member-owned and have been the lifeline of many communities over many, many years. Why would you allow the central bank to squeeze some credit unions out of some localities that they will stop at?
CEPTU say their members working in councils across the country are open to negotiations after it was announced they are prepared to strike if they're forcibly transferred to Irish Water. Council talks with the government, Irish Water and trade unions will take place in the coming weeks. CEPTU Public Administration and Community Division organiser Adrian Kane says thousands of their members have made it clear that they will not accept any attempt by government to force them into Irish Water and they are fully prepared to take strike action. He says there is an opportunity though to resolve the issue.
We're up for a negotiation. But all we're saying is that there can't be unilateral decisions and actions taken. It has to be a negotiated settlement. And I think if there is reasonableness on the side of government, we can get there. But we do believe that local authorities do have a role in the provision of water services. And it's about trying to see if we can come to some sort of understanding, agreement and arrangement in that regard is the space that we need to land this.
But you do believe that agreement is possible, albeit not necessarily by July, which is Dara O'Brien's hope at the moment.
I don't believe there's a hope in hell of this being resolved by July. But, we're up for a negotiation and always have been. But we're not going to be subject to unilateral action by the other side in the imposition of positions that will not be worn by our members.
Local authorities received over 78,000 environmental complaints in 2019, most of which related to waste issues. Figures released by the Environmental Protection Agency show there were 515 more environmental prosecutions in 2019 compared to the year previously. The agency has welcomed an increase in the number of inspections being carried out, but says further action is needed to protect Ireland's rivers and lakes, with water quality continuing to decrease. Sport with Oisin Kelly just after this break.
Sport on Highland brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.
And we say good evening to Oisin Kelly.
We're going to start with golf, Catherine. Rory McIlroy is having a nightmare opening day at the Players' Championship in Sawgrass. The defending champion is 6 over par after 14 holes. He's a quadruple bogey, a double bogey, 2 bogeys and only 2 birdies so far in his opening round. Hasn't been a good day for the County Down man. Graham McDowell is faring out better. He's 2 holes left to play. He's 5 shots better than McIlroy currently at 1 over. While Open champion Shane Lowry is set to tee off at 10 past 6 Irish time. Well, who's the man at the top leading the way? It is Englishman Matthew Fitzpatrick. 13 holes played, 4 under par, and he leads a group of 7 players by a single shot. In that group of 7 on 3 under is Lee Westwood and Sergio Garcia. In other golf news, Cormac Sharvin is 6 shots off the lead after the opening day's play at the Qatar Masters. The Derryman carded a 1 under par 70, with Scotland's David Law holding a 1-stroke advantage over the field at 7 under. Paul Dunne finished 3 over, with Jonathan Caldwell at 4 over as they head in to day 2. Manchester United take on AC Milan this evening in the pick of the ties in the last 16 of the Europa League. But ex-United striker Zlatan Ibrahimovic isn't fit enough to face his former club at Old Trafford. Red Devils captain Harry Maguire says they're determined to land some silverware this season.
When you play for this club, you're expected to win trophies. And if you play for this club, the main focus is to win football games and win trophies. So, yeah, it's really important. We're obviously in the FA Cup and the Europa League and still fighting in the Premier League as well. So we're playing for 3 competitions and we want to go as far as we can in all of them. And like I say, lifting trophies is what we expect to do at this club.
Well, that game's due to get underway in just under 40 minutes' time. Also kicking off at 5:55, Rangers are in action. Manager Steven Gerrard has challenged his players to keep their Europa League run going after wrapping up a first Scottish Premiership title in a decade. The newly crowned domestic champions face Slavia Prague in the first leg of their last 16 tie. Gerrard says it will be fascinating to see how they perform.
I want them to go into the next two games with confidence and belief, but with respect, because this challenge is big. Anyone you face in the last 16 of a major tournament in Europe is going to be difficult. But I still have belief that if we can find two really strong performances from a European point of view, it gives us a good chance of getting through.
Two further games to come at 8 o'clock tonight. Arsenal travel to play Olympiacos, a side who knocked them out of the competition last season, while Tottenham host Dynamo Zagreb in their first leg in North London. With the new League of Ireland Premier Division season almost upon us, we will hear from both the Finn Harps and Derry City camps ahead of their openers on Saturday week against Bowes and Longford as part of the Score programme, which goes to air tonight just after the 7 o'clock news. Jeremy Doherty's been speaking with Harps' Ethan Boyle, Will Seymour and Mark Anthony McGinley, while Kevin McLaughlin attended this week's Derry Media Day and linked up with manager Declan Devine, Kieran Call and City captain Owen Toole. Also on the Score tonight, there's horse racing as well. Dave Kinna and Dennis Kerwin will have a Road to Cheltenham preview. This year's festival starts next Tuesday. They'll be joined by jockey Sean Flanagan and son of Willie Mullins, Paddy. That's all on the Score, which starts after the 7 o'clock news this evening here on Highland. Now to cycling. Ireland's Sam Bennett has won today's fifth stage of the Paris-Nice. The Carrigan-Shire rider claimed the victory in a sprint finish into Ballon to claim his second stage win of this year's race. Bennett remains top of the points classification and he has thanked his Quick-Step teammates for their help at the finish.
I was suffering the last few K and I don't know what it is, but people won't let me follow my own train here, and it's frustrating in the final. I just got back on just before the roundabout, but it was a very hard final. I didn't think I'd hold it to the line, but the guys did an incredible job and I'm just proud that I could finish it off.
To rugby now, the IRFU's chief executive, Phil Brown, says the partnership between CVC and the Six Nations is very positive news for Irish rugby. It'll boost IRFU's coffers by €56 million over the next 5 years, with CVC taking a 1/7 share of the tournament. Brown added it's a boost to their finances, with Irish rugby's governing body bracing themselves for significant revenue losses this year. Ulster's Paul Warwick has been handed a 2-game ban following his red card against Leinster last weekend. He'll now set out the Northern Province's final Pro 14 regular season fixtures, which are against the Dragons and Zebre. While Joey Carberry will start his first game in 14 months tomorrow night, the Ireland international out half has been named in the Munster team to face the Scarlets in their Pro 14 clash at Thomond Park. Finally, a member of the Irish athletics team has tested positive for COVID-19 on their return home from the European Indoor Championships. Athletics Ireland say the positive sample was detected this morning following PCR testing of the team. All close contacts of the affected athlete are now isolating for a period of 10 days. That's your sport, Catherine.
Thanks, Oisin. Weather now. This evening will bring frequent blustery showers with some bright intervals. The showers will bring a risk of hail and some isolated thunderstorms, possibly turning wintry on higher ground. And frequent showers will continue overnight with a risk of hail and isolated thunderstorms. And it's going to be cold tonight with temperatures of 1 to 3 degrees. Closing headlines. A man has died following a crash in South Donegal. Gardaí and Ballyshannon are continuing to appeal for witnesses to the collision, which happened at Ballymorgarty and Ballantra at around 8 o'clock this morning. It's been confirmed that pharmacy staff in Donegal will begin getting their COVID-19 vaccines from tomorrow morning, and the European Commission has authorised the use of Johnson & Johnson's vaccine across the EU. That is the main evening news and sport on Highland Radio for now. Stand by, Chris Ashmore will be here with all the latest in farming news, and the obituaries will follow thereafter. Have a very good evening.
Hey, Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll be looking at a new farming loan that could be available from a credit union near you in the future. But first, Minister of State at the Department of Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Senator Pippa Hackett, has today announced that she is looking for input from stakeholders to guide the commissioning of a major feasibility study on wool. She said that wool is sustainable and renewable, so it makes great sense for us to see where its potential lies. The ICSA sheep chair, Sean McNamara, has welcomed the news. He said the collapse in wool prices, particularly in 2020, was not only catastrophic for sheep farmers, but it also resulted in so much of this valuable natural resource going to waste. Meanwhile, the new implementation working group set up as part of the Bovine TB Stakeholder Forum and chaired by Dr. Sean Brady had its first meeting this week. Developments will be watched closely. On Tuesday, the County Donegal executive of the IFA held an online meeting on farm finance. Much of the meeting centred on the impending closure of many bank branches and what services credit unions offer. Brendan Heenhun is the project manager of Cultivate, a special farming loan. An increasing number of credit unions are now offering the loan, and the concept has really taken off. Now there's interest in credit unions in Donegal. He's been telling me more.
Yes, back in 2016, a group of four credit unions in County Galway came together to see how they could collaborate to offer a common product for farmers. While credit unions would have always been, I suppose, have some lending with farmers, it was they were very much the Cinderella when it came to farm lending. And so the group, the enterprising group, or the pioneering group, were very keen to try and change that.
Now, this week, the Donegal IFA had an online meeting and you participated in it. There were a number of people there from credit unions throughout Donegal. And obviously, this is really coming to light now because of the fact that we've got the withdrawal of Ulster Bank from Ireland. Bank of Ireland are going to shut five more branches in Donegal and others around the country. So there is a void going to be there. And you, like a lot of people, feel that the credit unions could be a third force, so to speak. And vitally, it's important that the agricultural community is served by them.
Yes, very much so. The credit unions are in every town around the country. And it's been an extraordinary development from the time they were set up, we'll say, in the 60s. Most of the credit unions were set up in the 60s. And they were set up by local people, not-for-profit, local people investing in it, and then that money being lent out to people that want to do it, to borrow for a whole variety of things. So I suppose the whole thing has evolved to a stage now that credit unions are very sophisticated. They have online banking. So they offer most of the services that banks offer. And they're a really viable alternative in that they're local. You can go in and talk to somebody at home. You won't be at the end of a telephone or talk to somebody in Dublin. So there's a lot of advantages for the credit union and for the farming public to get together to make this happen.
Now, the Cultivate initiative, which you are a driving force behind through credit unions, there's something in the region of, 25, 26 credit unions have bought into this. There is a small investment there, but as a result of that, they are then able to offer a loan for farmers. There's a set rate up to €50,000 over, I think it's 7 years, at a rate of 6.55%. which is something that is not on offer through traditional credit unions at present.
Yes, like the huge advantage of credit unions is they're local and they're ran by, owned by local people, etc. The disadvantage is that there's a whole lot of credit unions around the country and they're all operating independently of each other. So what we're attempting to do with Cultivate is to get the power of collaboration and everybody from government right down the advantage of by working together. It's amazing what can be achieved. So the 26 credit unions, starting with the Galway Group and then moving down to Clare, to Kerry, to Cork, up to the Midlands. They in the last couple of years, this really works for them. Their loan book is growing. But most of all, farmers coming in are very, very happy with the service they get. And they're becoming a real strong force. The Cultivate brand, I suppose, is now being recognised as, you know, a very legitimate farm loan brand by farmers. And we would love to see farmers in Donegal being able to avail or Cultivate. I think there was 8 credit unions attended the meeting the last night in Donegal, which is an indication of how keen they are to be involved. So I think we're still working with the IFA, and can I suppose just congratulate IFA for their leadership in order to get this going. George Starrett and the people in Donegal, they have done a huge job in terms of seeing the need and then working with credit unions to see can we get this, enable this to happen in Donegal.
Yeah, now it came up during the meeting, over the years there's been somewhat of a little bit of an image amongst some people in the farming community that credit unions were essentially for car loans and home improvements and housing and things like that. But as we go forward, the farming sector is certainly going to be very interested in what could be a new type of loan coming on offer for the individual credit unions. Brendan, they will have to make an investment to get involved. There's also an annual membership fee, some of which goes towards marketing, and there's specialised training. But you believe it's very much a win-win situation.
Well, we look upon it not as a cost, but as an investment. Now, it's sure every credit union has to look at the books and keep costs down to an absolute minimum. But it's the people that have gone into it, the 26 credit unions, they've all made a success of it. They've all invested into it. So we run it on a very, very tight budget, and any kind of expenses in there, most of it goes towards marketing and at both at local level and national level. But we also see training has been very, very important. So every cultivated loan officer undergoes a 5-day farm and finance training course, which is absolutely essential. So when a farmer goes in to his local credit union, he or she is talking to a well-informed person that has a huge interest in working with that particular farmer. And I think that's a huge thing in today's virtual world. People just love to see a face or know that there's somebody locally here that they can talk to and somebody they can build up a business relationship with.
So based on the experience so far down the country, what sort of average loan has been taken out under the Cultivate loans?
Yeah, as you said at the start there, Chris, the it's up to 50,000. So the loans have varied from very small to a couple of thousand right up to 50,000. So the average loan actually is about 25,000. And it's the average duration of the loan, I think, is over 5 years. So it's very much a long-term relationship. And one of the spin-off sides from the credit union's point of view, if the farmer goes in and gets good service, which he or she will, you will often find the son or the daughter coming in looking for maybe an education loan, looking for a car loan, so that there's the spin-off benefits for the credit union for other businesses as well.
Now, some people who may be interested may not be members of their local credit union, and this came up during the online meeting during the week about do you have to already be a member and what sort of savings to loan ratio. How does that all work?
Yeah, when we started off, first of all, we encountered all that kind of thing. That was the perception among farmers that, listen, there's a whole lot of regulation. You've got to have shares in there, etc. The 26 credit unions are involved. They changed all that. And if there's any kind of regulations that were there, they standardise it so that now if you go in yourself, Chris, if you're not a member of the credit union and you want to get a farm loan, you need is a HERD number and you can become a member very, very quickly. It's only a matter of signing a single page form. And while that might be not the case in every credit union in Donegal, that's exactly what happened with the other credit unions. Any rules that were there were changed to reflect the reality of the situation that they were dealing with. The IFA in Donegal are very much taking the lead now. So they're planning a further meeting with the credit unions in Donegal.
So in conclusion, whilst there are going to be less banks in counties like Donegal, this is a period that is one of opportunity for credit unions, and you would be quite upbeat about their future and certainly their relationship with the farming community.
I'm an ex-Chagas advisor. I've been working with farmers, I suppose, all my life. But I see this as a real, real opportunity here. If the credit unions, through the leadership of the IFA, through the leadership of, I suppose, of the CEOs and the boards of credit unions, working with the farmers, this can be a real, real winner in for County Donegal.
And that was Brendan Heenahan, who is the project manager behind the Cultivate initiative. In other news, Andrew McMenamin from Castle Finn, a member of the Finn Valley branch, is the new secretary of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA, having taken over from Adrian Gallagher. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
The obituary notices for Thursday evening, the 11th of March. The death has taken place of Nora Kelly, Nora Huey Catchleen, Mina Niller Derrybeg. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in St Mary's Church, Derrybeg, tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock with burial afterwards in Maharagallan Cemetery. In compliance with current HSC and government restrictions, the house, funeral and burial will be strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The rosary can be viewed tonight on the Parish Diggiedore Facebook page at 7:30. Nora's funeral mass can be viewed live on Kieran Rorty, Funeral Director, Facebook page tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. The death has occurred of Maisie Noonan, Main Street, Killigordon. Funeral leaving her home on Saturday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Crossroads, Killigordon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish Facebook page on facebook.com/ St Patrick's Crossroads. In compliance with current HSC and government restrictions, the house, funeral and burial will be strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of Colm Sexton, Lockery Terrace, Drumquin. Funeral will take place tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church, Langfield, Drumquin, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral may be viewed on youtube.com with a link available on our website. The death has taken place of Bridie McDermott, niece Sweeney, formerly of Hawthorne Heights, Letterkenny and Calhame. Funeral Mass will take place in St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock and can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Letterkenny. Interment afterwards in Conwell Cemetery. Family, flowers only please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to Hillcrest House Nursing Home Comfort Fund, care of any family member. In compliance with government and HSC restrictions, the funeral and interment are strictly private to family only, please. The death has taken place of George Dermot McDermott, 30 Melmount Park, Strabane, and formerly of the Diamond Lifford. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be private to family only, please. George's Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock on melmountparish.com/webtv. The death has occurred of Tommy Oney Gallagher, Fanmore, Fulcara. His remains are reposing at his home in Fanmore. Funeral from there tomorrow morning, going to St Finian's Church, Fulcara, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass may be viewed live on MCN Media Fulcara or on McClafferty Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has occurred of John Mulligan, Carrow Cannon, Fulcara. His remains will leave Letterkenny this evening, going to St Finian's Church, Fulcara, for 6 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock in Fulcara, with burial afterwards in Holy Cross Cemetery, Dunfanaghy. The funeral mass may be viewed live on MCN Media Fulcara or on McClafferty Funeral Director's Facebook page. And the death has taken place of Eileen Conley, niece Foley, 4 Bells Court, Claddy. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to Marie Curie, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. In accordance with current restrictions, the house and funeral will be strictly private to family only, please. Eileen's Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the Ernie and Castlefin Parish streaming service tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock on facebook.com/Ernie Castlefin Parish.